was placed on administrative leave recently because she sent out a list of things, guidelines for how students should conduct themselves through the Christmas season. So it's not to offend anyone, okay? So this is the list that she gives. So a list of unacceptable items. Santas or Christmas items, clip art on worksheets. Christmas trees in classrooms, elf on the shelf. That's Christmas related, there's a hyphen. Singing Christmas carols, playing Christmas music. Sending a scholastic book that is a Christmas book. That's Christmas related. This is all her writing. Making a Christmas ornament as a gift. This assumes that the family has a Christmas tree, which assumes they celebrate Christmas. I challenge the thought of, well, they can just hang it somewhere else. Reindeer. No reindeer. Her list, not mine. Christmas videos, movies, and or characters from Christmas movies, emphasis added. And candy canes. What? This is what her writing, again, this went out to parents everywhere. Historically, she says, the shape is J for Jesus, the bread is the blood of the cross of Christ, and the white is the symbol of the resurrection, she reportedly wrote. This would also include different color candy canes, but there's no specifications were made as to why different colored candy canes would also represent the blood of Christ and his resurrection. I see a lot of different candy canes out there, right? So, you know, I was thinking about this war on candy canes. And I thought, okay, what is going on here? Is she so afraid? You know, we've gotten over PC, right? Is she so afraid, or is she really that much of a Grinch? You know, I don't know. But we're living in times where there is a, some would call it a culture war. Some people would call it a cold civil war. That is, we're very divided as a nation, yet it's not a war with weapons, but of ideas, of theology. It is a fight for freedom of speech, freedom of religion, freedom of indoctrination from those who hold power in high places. It's a fight for who gets to set the narrative for what our kids are taught is truth, right? And so there is a battle. And as Christians, sometimes we can feel, especially as we see the Christian culture being stripped away, that was such an integral part of America, it's hard because we feel like, man, we're just on, seems to be on the opposite side of everything. And it becomes weary, doesn't it? It becomes a little tiring. I don't want to just constantly be at war. I just want to relax, you know. I want to be able to just enjoy my life. And so there was a time in Judah, of course, where it was prophesied that Jesus, the Messiah, he would be born, or 600 years later. And Isaiah is preaching this prophecy, and he's basically saying, look, you know, there's going to come a time, there's going to be peace and everything. But it seems so far away. But this is what he says. Notice this. We're in Isaiah 11, and it's verses 1 through 9. And this is what he said. He said, there shall come forth a shoot from the stump of Jesse. That is King David's father. And a branch from his roots shall bear fruit. And the spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, and the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. And his delight shall be in the fear of the Lord. He shall not judge by what his eyes see, or decide disputes by what his ears hear. But with righteousness he shall judge the poor, and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, with the breath of his lips, and he shall kill the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt of his waist, and faithfulness the belt of his loins. The wolf shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the young goat, and the calf and the lions and the fattened calf together, and a little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze, their young shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw with the ox. The nursing child shall play over the hole of the cobra, and the weaned child shall put his hand on the adder's den. They shall not hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea. That's quite a picture, isn't it? Wow. You know? Baby snake, no, I'm sorry. Right? Can you just imagine how peaceful that, I mean, you know, it's the apocalypse, cats and dogs living together, right? I mean, it's just this this picture of peace. Here, Jesus, we know that Jesus is going to take us up to be with him. We know that, depending upon your end times views, we do all agree that Jesus is going to come and make things right. Don't you want God to make things right? He's just and he's righteousness. And we see wicked, so many wicked things, and people get away with stuff and go, oh, that, man, that's not fair. But then we know we've messed up and, wow, you know, we're thankful for his mercy and his grace. But sometimes we get weary and we want to have that picture. We want to look forward at what he's going to do. Now, they couldn't have imagined that 600 years later, Jesus would pop up on the scene. That couldn't have been in their imagination. They're just thinking about what's going on right there. They're thinking about, we're getting attacked. We're under attack. The Babylonians are coming to get us. And man, this life is hard. But they couldn't imagine back then. They couldn't see. And it's very much like us. You know, we believe, but it's hard to picture in our mind Jesus actually coming back, right? We think, yeah, this is what I believe. But to emotionally connect to that and think, wow, what would that really look like? And so I just want to say that as to give you some hope that, look, they probably had a hard time, but God did it anyways. Because it's not about our hearts. It's not about what we struggle to believe. It's what God's going to do regardless of what people believe. Amen? And so, and then notice that he is talking about, so there's a perfect world in the future. God puts everything right. And then there's this hope, and he says something. He says a shoot will come out of the stump. So in other words, it's kind of like, wow, you know, God's allowing us to be taken over by the Babylonians. I mean, this is it. It's all over. No, it's not all over. In the future, a little shoot. I don't know if you've ever seen a shoot come out of a stump. I was cutting down the banana tree in my dad's house. Have you guys ever tried to cut down a banana tree in your yard? I hate those things. I mean, I love bananas, but I hate banana trees. Because you know what the thing about a banana tree is? You go out there, you whack it down, you're like, oh, good, man, my back's sore, I'm tired, I'm going to go inside. Next day you come out, that thing's grown 2 inches. I looked at that thing and I said, oh, you stupid banana tree. I'm going to go get that machete and I'll make sure I put one hand behind my back because I don't want to have a mistake. You go out there and whack, you know, take that thing down. There you go. Yeah. Go back, come back the next day. It's there again. Like magic. I'm thinking, what in the world is going on? Cut this thing down. And so this is the thing, is that God is relentless. It doesn't matter what schemes people have, or the people in places of power, or politicians, or whatever, man. It doesn't matter. God is relentless, and he's going to fulfill his promise. Isn't that awesome? And you know, the devil's irritated, because he's the one just trying to take it away. No. Man, these Christians, they just keep coming back. No. The church, they persecute them. They keep coming back. They keep growing. You can't stop God. You just got to decide if you want to be on his side or not. I want to be on God's side. I'm all in favor of that. Now, what about right now, though? Okay, man, you know, God's going to come. Everything's going to be awesome. Whenever that's going to happen, will it be my lifetime? I don't know. But what about now? What can you and I do? You know, Jesus, we have our ideas of Jesus in our mind, but picture this. Jesus went to a place called the Mount of Olives. And back then, they didn't have a microphone like this. They just have to yell like this. Right? And so he's sitting on a mountaintop, or out on the side of the mountain called the Mount of Olives. And a crowd begins to gather. And these people have taken the day off of work, merchants, mothers with their babies. There's fathers, carpenters probably, fishermen, even the tax collectors. They all want to see what's going on. What is this guy? This guy heals. I mean, this guy is something, right? I mean, some of us get excited. We want to go to a concert or whatever. But, you know, Jesus isn't down. Whoa. Whoa. Oh, there's this concert. Yeah, whatever. Jesus is in town. Now that's something I want to see. Why? Did you hear what happened to Buddha the other day? Yeah. Dropped him in through Peter's roof, and the guy got up and walked away. He was lame his whole life. He got up, he walked away. Did you hear about that guy? He's going to be here today. Yeah, let's go. Be back soon. Right? Be back whenever. Gone surfing. So, check this out. So, Jesus is there, and people show up from the richest of the rich to the poorest of the poor. I mean, he's got the attention of lawyers and scribes and even the zealots, these guys who are like, you know, these guys are the conspiracy theorists of the day, okay? The zealots. Because they were like thinking, we can take these Romans. No. Yeah, we can. Don't do it. Right? Yeah, we can dig him. And everybody's like going, you know, Sadducees and the Sanhedrin and all these, the guys that got their sweet positions that they've kind of bribed themselves into. They're going, stop it. Right? But the zealots, man, they were the conspiracy guys of the day. But they had weapons, man. They were ready to go to war, you know. And then here comes Jesus. Hey, this guy's got another way. Nah. No, I'm going to cut these Romans. No, he's got another way. I'm going to cut him. Nope. Come, let's listen to him. So all these different people from all different walks of life, just imagine everybody today, like your coworkers, your family, going, people that you go, that would never show up to hear Jesus. I mean, people, you would never come to church, and they all are coming, and they're all sitting down. Even the skeptical Pharisees. I can't pull my arms right, but, you know, they're just, I don't know, what is this guy? What's he doing? And he begins to teach. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. He tells them, you know, blessed are the poor, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. And he says something powerful. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be sons of God. What? What did he say? He said, blessed are peacemakers, for we can be sons of God, like sons and daughters of God. Well, yeah, I mean, we're children of Abraham, but I mean, that's something that was very powerful. You mean, I can be favored of God. You know, because they know they had sin in their lives. They didn't have a savior. They had sacrifices, you know. They brought their livestock, you know, and they would sacrifice, and they had to do all these things. But this idea that they would have this relationship with God, peacemaker, what is that? And I begin to think about what Jesus said, blessed are the peacemakers. Man, how do you become a peacemaker? Well, see, the thing about, I think we have a confusion between a peacemaker and a peacekeeper. You guys want to know the difference? See, peacekeepers are, you know, if those people that don't want to make waves, you just want to keep the peace. You don't want any arguments. I don't want any arguments. I don't want to argue with anybody. Peacekeepers walk around on eggshells around very opinionated people. Oh, no. Oh, you believe that? Oh, okay. That's nice. Whatever floats your boat. Okay. Whatever flag you saluting. Yeah. All right. Right? Oh, uncle's going for it again. Yeah. Okay. Okay. Right, uncle. Okay. Okay. You know, you're a peacekeeper. Right? You're like, oh, they're having a political argument. Snacks, anybody? Oh, here's a six pack. Oh, but I don't know. Depending upon who's in your family, sometimes that just agitates it. Uh-oh. Don't know. No. Don't give him that. He's going to get historical. You mean hysterical? No, historical. He's going to start telling all the history stuff. Oh, no. So, I mean, you have peacekeepers, right? You just want to keep the peace. You just don't like conflict. And then you're afraid. You're kind of just afraid of that. But here's the problem. Is it doesn't work in this life. You know, there's people that are the peacekeepers, and then there's the peace takers and the peace breakers, man, and they're just going to keep walking on you. They're going to keep taking steps. Jesus did not call you to be a peacekeeper. He called you to be a peacemaker. And a peacemaker does not sacrifice truth to keep the peace. A peacemaker is a reconciler who helps to reconcile people with the truth. Romans 5:1 says that we are now at peace with God. We are justified by faith. We're now at peace with God. Before we were at peace, we're at war with God. And this is something you guys might not be aware of. But Jesus, he's one day going to rule and bring a time of perfect peace, right? But until then, we must be a peacemakers in a world of peacebreakers. Gang, we are in a constant battle between those who are at peace with, we who are at peace with God and those who are not at peace with God. The only way to really have peace in your heart is to first have peace with God. And you can be a peacemaker. You can reconcile people to the knowledge of God. You can bring truth in, but you don't have to do it in a mean way. I think we live in these days where with Facebook and Instagram and Insta that and whatever we got and Twitter this and you know all this stuff. You know the problem with online social media? Is you can say things, but you're not looking at the person's face. You're not hearing the tone of their voice, which totally takes out 50% of all the communication. And so the only thing that you're getting is the words. And you take it the wrong way easy, right? And then, oh, they're saying that. Well, I'll say this. They said that. Well, I'll say this. And you go, well, if you were face-to-face having coffee, would you say that? No. Never. And who are these 10,000 people that you're friends with? I mean, seriously. You don't know them. But see, we've gone to this point where it's so easy to just be cathartic and Allah with our stuff. But Jesus, he wants us to be gentle. Now, notice James, he actually gives us instruction. And this is cool. When I came upon this, I thought it was really beautiful. I want to share this with you. James gives us some instructions. And this is the Lord's half-brother, James. I know there's a lot of different James in the Bible. He says, "Who is wise and understanding among you? By his good conduct, let him show his works in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast, do not be false to the truth. This is not the wisdom that comes from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, and demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be disorder in every vile practice. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere. And a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace." There's a lot there, yeah? Let's break it down. So, first thing he talks about, I want to look at, was earthly, unspiritual, and demonic wisdom. Earthly, unspiritual, and demonic wisdom does not promote peace. It doesn't. You cannot promote peace with wisdom that is just earthly. It is unspiritual. It's not connected to God. In fact, it's demonic. Why? Because it sows violence and discord. People willing to tear others down in order to gain political power, for instance. Those who are willing to destroy people's reputations or call people that oppose them to be harassed and confronted in public, like we've seen. And then say they have the nerve to turn around and say, "Oh, I'm a godly person, right? And I don't care what party you're associated with." And it's not just in politics. We can't be mean people. Just because we have the truth doesn't mean that we have to deliver it with a sledgehammer. My gosh, people are hurting, right? People are going through difficult things, but we don't want to. The way we can we deliver truth sometimes as Christians can be hurtful, unnecessarily. And James is saying here, look, consider this. What do you do? Meekness. What is meekness? You guys know what meekness means? Sounds like weakness. It is not. Meek, to be meek doesn't mean to be weak. God doesn't want you to be weak, because people see meek and that's like, oh, I'm just a doormat. Go ahead and scrape your feet on me. No, that is not meekness. Meekness just means to have a gentle spirit, but you're standing strong. You're strong. But it's like you're meek in that you're humble, basically, in the way that you deal with people. He says pure. Be pure, right? What does that mean? That means we have no other agenda than to speak truth. We don't have any personal ambition or twisted motive or trying to get something over on somebody else, right? That's why we confess our sins to God, right? We just want to have a pure heart, right? Lord, I messed up. Lord, please forgive me. You hear Roz pray that, right? Lord, forgive us our sins, right? We just want to come and sometimes you just got to clean the slate, right? Just come for God and go, ah, yeah, you saw my thought life this week, huh? I really apologize for that. Lord, forgive me. Lord, you saw how I dealt with that situation this week. It wasn't the best. I'm really sorry. And I mean, I'm not making light, but we do that. We want to be pure in our motives, in our heart, you know. And this is gentle. You know, a self-controlled man or woman of God will always have more credibility than an angry, unhinged person. Let me say that. Gentle, which means self-controlled. Gentle doesn't mean all namby-pamby and, oh, I'm just really gentle and soft. It means that you are self-controlled. You control yourself. A virtue that I haven't seen a lot of lately, except with Christians and some others, but even some Christians are not self-controlled. But when we submit to God, we are gentle in dealing with other people. We're self-controlled. Again, it's not. You might see somebody, and maybe their personality is they're kind of loud. You know, you guys have anybody that speaks at a volume 10, they don't know how to turn it down. Maybe that's you. I don't know. Hey, how you doing? You know, somebody that's like greeting by, and you can hear them like two blocks down. Like, well, I can hear their whole conversation. You know, it's like the people on their Bluetooth, on their hands-free in the car with everything rolled down. Yeah, we're going to get those groceries. We're going to get the average. Oh, my gosh. You know, so I know some people are just loud, but doesn't mean, right? Like when you hear somebody talk in a foreign language and everybody sounds angry, but you don't know the language, it's like, ah, it's like they sound angry. Well, they're not. It's just the way it sounds, right? And so we make these assumptions about people. But see, it's not in tone, it's not in any of that. Gentle is in the way we deal with people. That we're considerate towards them. So it doesn't matter, you know, your personality. You can have a gregarious personality. You can be kind of a loud person. You can be kind of quiet. Just because somebody is quiet doesn't mean they're humble. Oh, they're real humble. Have you talked with them? No, but they're really quiet, and they're just always to themselves, you know. You don't know. They might be mumbling, like, I can't believe this person. Oh, you know, Lord, what they did. You don't know. You don't know, because you're just assuming, right, from the outside. But see, it's not about being loud or not being loud. Gentle is, I have control of my spirit. As a man or woman of God, I have the Spirit of God within me, connected to me. It gives me the power to subdue my rage, to subdue things within me. Words that might come out that might not be edifying or building up. They might make me feel good for 5 seconds, but it's not really what I want to do. That makes sense? So gentle. That's what gentle. It just means, hey, I'm in check. I'm self-controlled, you know. I'm not unhinged. I'm not going to do a road rage on somebody, you know what I mean? Exactly. Is that mine? No. Yeah, that's mine. Open to reason. I love this. Open to reason. You know God's a reasonable God. Didn't you know that? God is open to he's like open to reason. In other words, like be easy to talk to. You ever have somebody want to talk to you and they're like, I need to wait for the right time. I need to wait for the right time. When's the right time? I don't know. They're in a mood. You know, you want to be easy to talk to, right? Open to reason, basically, that you can sit down, have a conversation. And this is something that I do to try to help people see I'm kind of open to reason is maybe I'm sitting down, and I've done this. I'll talk with people that maybe have different views than I have, religiously, politically, philosophically, whatever. And, you know, I'll do this with my in-laws sometimes. Oh, that's interesting. You know, I go, oh, you know, and not I'm not being sarcastic. I go, well, okay, that's an interesting view. I go, okay, and I'll repeat their view to them in my own words. So what I understand your view is this. Okay. And I just try to understand where they're coming from rather than assuming, oh, right, you support this guy, you support that guy, right, the whole president thing, you're for Trump, you're against Trump. I'm like, come on, let's get past that, right? So when you sit down and you talk, you have a conversation, there's kind of an art to it. Gentle, you're self-controlled. But self-control is more than just not getting angry. You're open to reason. In other words, you can have a back and forth conversation on that even keel level, right? They're not afraid that you're going to go ballistic on them. They're like, oh, I got to choose my words wisely. You could just be the person they can just talk to and you listen to them. Why? Because people want to know that people want to feel that you're at least trying to understand them. That makes sense? I mean, to some of you guys, maybe this sounds kind of obvious, but I know for a lot of people, it's not so obvious. But people want to be understood. Do you want to be understood? You know, the most frustrating thing is not feeling understood, right? Have you ever had somebody, like, you're trying to explain something five different ways to somebody, and they're like, what? Well, you know, the what? Right? And think about that. Put yourself in their shoes, right? Treat others as you would have them treat you. So being open to reason, really basically just being open in conversation. Let them share with you their views, but also you might get deeper now into what's going on in their lives. Well, why do you think the way you think? Why do they see things the way they see things? You begin to understand who they are, what they're going through in their lives. And as you begin to have understanding, they begin to feel a connection. They go, oh, this guy's, he doesn't just want to push his agenda on me. He doesn't want to just push his beliefs on me. He just doesn't want to sell me Jesus. He actually cares about me. And that's the key, right? You got to care about people. Mercy and fruit. Again, I know these points, they sound kind of obvious, but mercy and fruit. Does this mean you bring like an orange or an apple to the conversation? Because, no. Fruit of what? Fruit of the Spirit. Right. Okay, now what is the fruit of the Spirit? Let's see who gets this. Love. One more, love. Yeah, joy, peace, patience, kindness, all those are components of love. Singular, fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love. As we get closer to God, and we love Him, we begin to love our fellow man, our fellow human beings, our fellow women more. We begin to see people in the image of God rather than just opponents and enemies. And when we begin to see other people in the image of God, we begin to care about them more, we begin to think, hey, you know what? I want to listen. And then I have found that, you know what, when I listen to people and I understand them, I try to understand them, and also when they know that I care about them, you know what? They're more apt to listen to me. I know, revelation, right? But this is the thing, but how many times we just, you know what we believe, somebody says something, we react, get mad, it makes me so mad, whoa. Yeah? Should be obvious. We're divided, gang. God says either you're a friend of the world or you're a friend of God, but you can't be both. But the thing is that if we're going to reach people that are not friends of God, there's a certain way that we need to approach that. We need to be peacemakers, right? Not peace fakers. Peacekeepers like, oh, I just won't say anything. I'll just keep all my opinions about love. No. So have mercy and have love, basically. Mercy and love. Really care about people. I was reading just yesterday. Did you know we have about 62 million refugees in the world right now? 62 million people have left their home countries. There's some, obviously there's Syria, but there's a whole lot of others. Some in Africa, some are in the Middle East. And we got a crisis, because it's more than just people on our southern border. I mean, we're having issues there, but all over the world, it's not just an America problem, it's a global problem. And so, what do? How do we reach people? We gotta reach out. We gotta care about people. Amen. I'm not talking political stuff right now. I'm just saying that. But there's got to be some solutions that we can be part of, right? Maybe instead of bashing each other, maybe we can come up with some solutions. Maybe we can love. So where does love gonna lead us? Because people need to know Jesus. Amen. That includes citizens, legal and illegal. That means refugees. That means everybody, right? Are there bad actors? Sure there are. But as we consider all these things that we see in the news, we see in the world, and things that are happening, just know there are some crazy things happening. I mean, I'm just saying, Jesus, come back now, because now would be a good time. Lord, did you come back now? How about now? Now? It would be good, really, because it'd be awesome. No, not yet. Right. And I look at these things that are going on in the world, and I'm like, man, but God's giving us an opportunity to reach out and touch people's lives with his love, with his mercy, with his gentleness, with self-control. See, as we get closer to God, and we begin to shut out the earthly, the unspiritual, the demonic voices of the world. Sometimes you wonder, like, man, why do I have a hard time getting into the Bible? Man, why do I have such a hard time, getting to church? Man, why do I have such a hard time? You know what? Sit, be quiet, and think about your week. What did you watch? What did you listen to? What did you read? You know, how do you spend your time? I mean, besides work, what do you take in? What games are you playing? Think and see what's happening. Are you fighting against yourself growing in the Lord? Because the thing is that we are assaulted all week long, whether we want to or not, because we go to work and things people say, things we might hear on the radio, all kinds of stuff. And we're assaulted all week long, and we have maybe one day where we can come and we just bask in the presence of God, worship him together, and listen to his word. And then we go back out into the world, right? And we're supposed to live so differently, kind of as foreigners, as aliens almost, in this world, in this culture. But I think if we begin to really seriously look at some of those things, maybe we got to eliminate from our lives. Maybe we got to shorten it. Maybe we got to cut it down, cut it out. Messages that are completely counter to what we believe. I mean, I love to go watch movies and stuff. I don't watch Avengers, anybody? Oh, you know? I mean, I don't shut out all entertainment, but I do have a discernment when I'm seeing things. There's certain messages and certain things that are coming through media or coming through entertainment and go, you know what? I don't think this is good for me. I don't think it's good for my spiritual diet. I'm going to say no. And we begin to have just some individual discernment, right? And I'm not saying, hey, we can't enjoy. There's a lot of stuff we can enjoy that's not contrary to God in this world, but the things that are really against God. You know, let's see if there's any of that. And maybe we can begin to eliminate that, and that'll help. That'll help you wanting to get into the Bible, want you to get to church. Because I look forward every Sunday because, you know what, when I teach you, I get taught. Whatever you receive, I receive. I am blessed that you're here. Amen. Impartial and sincere. What does that mean? That just basically means don't be hypocritical. You know, don't play favorites. Oh, I really like this person, so, you know, I'm going to treat them nicer, or don't be hypocritical, right? Again, like we kind of talked about in your mood, let your heart be pure, you know, I just want to get rid of this guy, right? Oh, I don't want to talk to him. It's like, don't, you know, we'll process that on your own, but try as best you can to just love on people the best you can. You're not going to click with everybody. Everybody's not going to be your best friend. That's just never going to happen, okay? We got to get over that. But we can't allow God to expand our hearts so we can begin to love more and more people that are maybe a little bit less like us. And I think as God expands our hearts more that direction, perhaps we'll reach more people for him. Amen? Let's pray. Lord, we come before you. And Lord, I'm convicted even as I preach this message, because sometimes I think maybe I'm not the peacemaker that I should be, but I do want to be that peacemaker, Lord. I do. I'm going to reach out. I'm so glad for so much of my family that does know you. I'm so glad for those that I know that love you. But my heart hurts, Lord, for those that I love who do not yet know you. Those, Lord, that are even in their circles of influence. And would you just work in me, and would you just work in us, a gentleness of spirit, a gentleness of heart. Maybe that our opinions and some of these things, maybe we need to settle back a bit. Maybe we need to ponder. Maybe we need to think a little bit more about reaching others rather than, I mean, the most important thing is that people come to know you, Lord Jesus. That's the most important thing. Before we convert anybody to any other kind of thinking, the most important thing is that they know you, Jesus. And I pray that nothing, that I would never put a stumbling block in front of a brother or sister. I would never put a stumbling block in anybody's way of coming to know you, Jesus. And obviously, Lord, we never want to compromise the truth of your word. And we know sometimes people are not ready to receive that. That's okay. But Lord, let us be gentle in speaking this truth that is sometimes hard to hear. Use us this season for your glory, even if it's just one person that you put on our heart, just that one person. We're going to pray for them. Keep that one person on your heart, on your mind right now that you're just thinking about as you listen to this message. We want to pray for that those people right now. Let's just pray. Lord Jesus, I pray, Lord, for this person right now that is in my mind, that I'm thinking about them, family member, coworker, friend. Lord, I pray that you would break the hold that the enemy has in their heart and their mind. I pray, Lord God, that by the power of your Holy Spirit, your truth would penetrate through, Lord, whatever is blocking that truth from getting there, that their hearts and their minds would be open to you. And Lord, when I come to speak, or if you would bring somebody into their life, Lord, they'd be open, they'd be receptive this season, and they would come to know you, Lord Jesus, as their Savior as well. I pray this in the mighty name of Jesus. And everyone said, God bless you guys. Have a great week.